Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we start a section called Maintaining Balance in One's Hopes. From this section we learn something very interesting, very important, that Hadith Sharif also is like a medication, like how a doctor gives a medication and a person, he overdoses on medication, this person can have some drastic side effects. So a person overdoses on certain ahadith, in other words, he just listens to hadiths on azab, for example, he can actually put a person into a depression. So therefore, like how when we're taking medication, we look for a proficient doctor to take that medication. When it comes to taking dini ilm, when it comes to taking ahadith also, we have to look that we're taking it from some proficient person. Because when a person only takes from a person who has ilm but doesn't have experience, and he doesn't have hikmat, he doesn't have wisdom, then the effects can be very detrimental. And sometimes they both can be saying the same thing, but a person who's got wisdom, the thing that he's saying comes across very nice. As Mawlana Yunus Patel rahmatullahi would give this one example, that there was once a king, and this king had a dream that all his teeth had fallen off. So he wanted an interpretation for the dream. So somebody had suggested that there's a very learned person, and this learned person can give you that interpretation. So he had knowledge, that learned person was a learned, knowledgeable person, but he didn't have wisdom. So there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. So this person gave the interpretation that what it means is that all your family members are going to pass away. This interpretation of this dream, your teeth are falling off, is all your family members are going to pass away. So the king was very offended by this interpretation. He felt very upset by it. And he said, this person has given such a bad interpretation, take him and have him locked up. So lock him up. In those days the kings also had power, etc. So lock him up. And then he asked for somebody else. So this time he was referred to a person, or he got a person to come in who had that knowledge also and also had wisdom. So this person came and he gave an interpretation. He said, what this dream means is that you'll have a very long life, you'll outlive all your family members. So he's saying the same thing. You will have a very long life, you will outlive your family members. What it means, your family members are still going to die before you. They're all going to die. But you will have a long life, you will outlive them. So he was so happy with this interpretation that he gave him presents and everything, and he sent them away. So the moral of this incident is that when a person has got wisdom, he'll be saying the same thing, but the way he says it will come across very nicely. So here what Hakim al-Ummat rahmatullah alayhi is saying in this section, that he has quoted only a hadith on hope in this kitab, and he explains that end result of quoting these hadiths on hope will bring the same effect if he had quoted hadiths on punishment. And then he explains why. He says, because the action or the intention to create or to quote a hadith on hope is to create the desire in one's heart to do action. And the hadiths also on punishment are there. It warns a person so that he can do action. So he said, I brought these hadiths that on hope, it brings the same end result. Another quick example for our understanding purpose. A person has a staff member who's always coming late to work. Now he wants this person, he wants the staff, this employee to come on time. There's one of two ways. One is he can be very hard. He can threaten this person, I'm going to deduct so much of salary, I'm going to fire you, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Or he can use a very nice approach and he can get a better result. He can say, if you come on time every day, what I'll do is I'll pay you your salary early. Instead of paying it end of the month, I'll give you your salary at the 25th. Now, use a very nice approach. But both ways, he'll get the person to come on time. One way, the person's hopes will be up. The person will be feeling motivated that I'm going to get my salary early. And another way is he's coming, but he's not so motivated. So this is what you call a hakim, a true spiritual doctor. Tanvir Rahmatullahi, understanding what's the sentiment, understanding the mindset of a person. Therefore, when it comes also to deen, therefore we have to look for an experienced person. Person who knows what to give, what to prescribe, at which time. Not that everything is given at every moment, because then it doesn't have the effect. So this is one thing we learned from today's section, is that when it comes to deen also, there are certain things prescribed for certain occasions. So this section, maintaining a balance in one's hopes. Muslims probably know that perfection in iman is not realized through fear alone, nor hope alone. Rather, it is achieved by maintaining a balance between fear and hope. This is established from the Quran and hadith. All the themes in this book are on the subject of hope. It does not contain any themes related to fear. You should not conclude from this that we want you to only maintain your hopes and to disregard fear completely. our objective, Hakim Ulumat is saying, our objective in writing these themes on hope is to create a vision for the world and a yearning for the year after. And for the realization of this objective, themes on hope are more effective. See, he's saying that it's more effective to get a person to realize his objective and to yearn for the year after. It is more effective to use themes on hope. Once you develop a yearning for the year after, you will inevitably pluck up the courage and do good actions, and this courage is the real objective. On hearing themes of punishment, you must have concluded that themes related to fear and themes related to hopes are equal in the fundamental objective because they prompt you towards action. As you mentioned, both will give you the same outcome. This is what he's saying. The themes in this book, which are only to create hope, are in reality there to support the themes on fear, because the objective of the themes on fear is realized through the themes on hope. The objective is the same, and not to establish any point against the themes on fear. A person should therefore not disregard fear completely. Allah Ta'ala states in one of the signs of iman is وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ. In other words, one of the qualities of a perfect believer is that he fears Allah Pak's punishment. After all, Allah Pak's punishment is not something which a person becomes fearless about. He has the fear of Allah Subhanahu's punishment. He's not totally fearless. But at the same time, he's keeping his hope up. He's keeping his balance between the fear and the hope. He's not putting the fear to such a height where the hope now is completely diminished. So he clears one more concern that may come to the mind, that in some ahadith we learn that having a long life is good. So the thought may come to the mind that to live in this world is better than to pass away. Look at what the thing he's speaking about. We may have heard ahadith to have a long life is good, because in those ahadith it speaks about the opportunity that a person gets to do more salah, more tilawat of Quran, more ibadat, etc. with a long life. So therefore the thought might come to the mind that to live is better than to die. So he's answering this. This is what you call also a great hakim, a great physician. That even that thought that may come to the mind, he explains that even those ahadith that speak about living long, they are actually there so that a person can have a good death. So those ahadith speaking about living long is also teaching us that to die is better. Because you can have a better death if you have better amal, better action. So he's saying it doesn't mean that this ahadith speaking about living long being better means that death is not better. It means death is still better, because those ahadith that speak about having a long life are actually so that you can have a better death. A misgiving and an answer to it was given towards the end of the third chapter. What misgiving with regards to the increase of one's lifespan? The misgiving was that we learn from the ahadith that death is given preference over life, but other ahadith prohibit us from hoping for death. The answer given was that life can be given preference over death on the basis that if a person has to live longer, his good actions will be more, or he will be able to repent over his sins. He'll be able to make more tawbah. Apart from this, death is certainly superior to life, because it's only after death that all the bounties of the afterlife can be received. The same answer is now explained more clearly. If we ponder over it carefully, we will establish that the ahadith from which life appears to be given preference over death are in reality giving support to those ahadith from which we learn that death is superior. This is because those same ahadith state that death should not be wished for, because if a person is given life, he can increase his good actions and repent over his sins. As I mentioned, those ahadith are increasing a longer lifespan so that he can have a better death. The last part of this section, this means that with a longer life, there is hope of a better death. This is why a longer life is superior, whilst life in itself is not the objective. This shows that death is still better, as was proven from the hadith in the third chapter. The following hadith proves our present discussion. And Zura'a bin Ubaidillah, anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, yuhibbu al-insanu al-hayata wal-mautu khayrun li-nafsih. Zura'a ibn Abdillah, rahmatullahi alayhi, narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man loves life, whereas death is better for him. Man loves to live long, but whereas death is better for him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding that this life actually is there so that we can prepare for death. We can make that tayari, the necessary preparation for death. It's not there to live life like how the West makes it to seem, that enjoy your life, you're going to live once and make all the merry that you can in this world and have all the enjoyment. No, the object of life so that a man can prepare for the akhirat. Whatever he is doing in this life is so that he can have a good maut and he can have a very enjoyable akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun al mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.